Let's read together Colossians 3, and we'll pick it up in verses 5 through 10. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Our background note for today has to do with the makeup of the church at Colossae. Look at verses 6 and 7 once again. And we read here that the Colossians used to walk, before their conversion, in the things that would bring on the wrath of God. Verses 6 and 7. Now, what are these things that would bring on the wrath of God? Well, those are the sins of verse 5 that we read: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. You mean to say that the Colossian believers were once involved in these things? Yes, before their conversion, they definitely were. In their unsaved days, they were involved in all kinds of sexual sin. Their minds were filled with all kinds of ungodly ideas and desires. They were involved in idolatry, not only because of the involvement in the pagan Greek and Roman religions, but also, as we read here, because of covetousness. Now, why is covetousness called idolatry there in verse 5? Because when anything takes the place of God in the number one spot, it's a form of idolatry. We can be involved in idolatry if something other than God takes the number one place in our lives. When we covet things like vehicles or houses or skis or surfboards more than God, it's a form of idolatry. When we covet places of power, like, I want to be the star, I want to be the boss, that can be a form of idolatry. When even good things like hobbies or travel that we can get involved in, if that becomes our main focus in life, even these good things, definitely can be a form of idolatry. Even a relationship with another person could start out well, but it could lead to idolatry if that person begins to take the number one place in your life. The Colossians had been involved in all of these things, but now they are changed. They've been converted. They have become Christians. No longer are they involved in these things. And we too are expected to be like the Colossian believers and change. And that really leaves us to our doctrinal point for today, and it's this. This is the way I'd like to put it. We are to put off the old man and put on the new man. That's what we read there in verses 9 and 10, that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. This is a doctrinal point now. This is what the Bible teaches, that we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. You may want to check out Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. You have the same concept there: putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Now, what is this old man, new man? I think we need some definitions here, because we use these terms a lot: old man, old nature, new nature. You hear these terms a lot. There's a lot of confusion on these things, a lot of written on these terms. Let's see if we can define them. First of all, old man or old person. That's all that we were apart from Christ. Before we were saved, all that we were apart from Christ, that's the old man. We were lost. We were dead in sins and trespasses. We were under the wrath of God. See verse 6 there? The idea of the wrath of God coming. We were really under the wrath of God before conversion. It's like living below a, illustration here, like living below a dam. Suppose you were living right below a dam and the waters piled up. It's only a matter of time before that dam is going to break. Think of that as being the wrath of God. And before we became Christians, it's like living below that dam. That's why John 3:36 says in reference to the unbeliever, the wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. But of course, that always changed when we became Christians. And now the new man, definition of the new man, it's all that we are in Christ. All that we've become in Christ. Forgiven of our sins, having new life in Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the new man's mind that's renewed, as you see here in verse 9. Romans 12:2 talks about us not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. One more point about the new man here that we can see in verse 10. It says, the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the new man is being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:28 and 29, familiar verses. All things work together for good to them of God and are called according to his purpose. What is the ultimate purpose of God in your life, in my life? Verse 29, Romans 8:29 gives us that. To be conformed to the image of Christ. So the new man then is all that we are in Christ. And it's the new man's mind that's being renewed. It's the new man that's being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Now what about these other terms, new nature and old nature? Not synonymous exactly here with old man, new man. The new nature is the new divine nature that we have. It's the nature that characterizes the new man. 2 Peter 1:4 says that believers are partakers of a divine nature. That's the new life that we have in Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers this new life. So the new nature then is that which characterizes the new man, what we are in Christ. The old nature is the sinful nature that we still have. The Bible sometimes calls it the flesh. It's that old human nature, sinful nature, or the flesh. And that was what characterized the old man. But here's the point. We still have the old nature until we get our resurrected bodies. In the meantime, then, we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. That's our doctrinal point. But you would say, well, wait a minute, I thought the old man was gone. Yes, he is gone. That's what we were before we became Christians, apart from Christ. But here's the point. We can live like the old man. Even though the old man's gone, we can live like the old man if we let the old nature characterize us. See verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and so forth. These are things which are part of the old nature. And even though the old man is gone, it still can characterize us if we let the old nature characterize us. See if I can use an illustration here. Take an illustration of cars, all right? Suppose you have an old car. In fact, I've seen some old cars up in the parking lot. But suppose you get a new car. You've got enough money somehow. You're able to get a new car, but you still keep the old car. Now, in many ways, that illustrates what it means to become a Christian. When you become a Christian, you get something brand new. You're a new person in Christ. You have divine life, new life in Christ, divine nature. But there's still the old nature. Now, just like with the cars, what do you want to do? You don't want to drive the old car around. Leave it. Leave it up there in the parking lot. Just drive around the new car. That's like letting yourself be characterized by the new nature. You get in and drive the old car around, it's like even though you've got a new car and you're a new person in this way, you're being characterized by the old. So we want to drive the new car. That's being characterized by the new nature. Don't want to drive the old car. That would be being characterized by the old nature. Putting on the new man in the New Testament is the same as saying, be what we are. We're to be what we are. We're new creatures in Christ. The old man is gone. We're the new man. So we're to live like we really are. Or in terms of our last session, putting on the new man is another way of expressing the RAM method. Particularly, let's talk about the A and the M of the RAM method in line with this illustration I gave about the cars. Aspiration, you see, aspiring to the things of heaven, would be like putting high-test gas in the new car and only driving around the new car. Whereas mortification would be leaving the old car in the garage of death, if you will. Don't get into the old car. Don't drive it around. Watching lousy videos, rotten videos, lousy TV shows, and feeding yourself on bad literature and so forth would be like putting leaded gas in the old car. That's feeding the old. No, leave it in the garage of death. Don't even take the old car out for a little spin. You're liable to end up in an accident. That's the idea of putting on the new and putting off the old. Romans 8:4 and Galatians 5:16 talk about our responsibility to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's the same concept as putting off the old man, putting on the new man. All right, let's get right down to a practical application for today then. Here's the way I'd like to put our practical application. Let's take off the old man hand-me-down clothes, all right? Write that down for your practical application. Let's take off the old man hand-me-down clothes. Look once again at verses 8 and 9. And think in this connection now of taking off dirty old clothes and putting on new clean clothes. You see verse 8? But now you must also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So let's take off these old man hand-me-down shirts, if you will, of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying, and so forth. What's malice, by the way? Wish we had time that we could take all of these terms here. But what's malice? Malice is the attitude of wanting to harm another person or their reputation, even through malicious gossip. Illustration. The next time you're in a conversation with a person and your rival comes up in the conversation, you know, that person that's getting ahead of you, that's getting ahead in their career more than you are, or getting better grades than you are, and so forth, take note now how you talk about that person. I wouldn't be surprised if we'll find ourselves verging on malice. What about filthy language that's mentioned here? Filthy language here is not only swearing, but any kind of foul language or shady stories. Ephesians 5:4 says we're to avoid foolish talking and coarse jesting. It certainly would take in most of our ethnic jokes, wouldn't it? Here's a good rule of thumb in that connection. Whatever you would be shocked to hear your mother say, don't say. Okay? Then you'll be sure you'll be avoiding filthy language. Let's really work together to take off these dirty old man hand-me-down clothes and put on the new clean clothes of the new man.